Hello, and welcome to Divine Downloads. I'm your host, Cassandra Bodzak, your spiritual mentor, and this is the show where we teach you how to manifest a life that lights you up. And today's episode is another personal solo cast all about my first trimester, the symptoms, the journey, the spiritual lessons, and it is because of your feedback. After my conception journey and spiritual lessons episode, so many of you reached out to me letting me know how helpful it was, how much you appreciated hearing my journey as you think about your journey, whether it is in the very near future or you just know that you want to have a child along the way, or you're pregnant right now. And so I will be recording more of these solo casts sprinkled in between the usual episodes for you guys to kind of get a little inside scoop on what the adventure has been like for me. I feel like it's very fitting that I literally just made myself a bowl of my favorite pregnancy smoothie. I've been using, this is not sponsored at all, by the way, but my favorite prenatal protein plant-based prenatal plant-based protein powder, like say that seven times fast, is Ritual. And so I've been making myself these smoothie bowls every day because you have to eat all of this protein when you're pregnant. And coming from someone that is vegetarian, leaning vegan most of the time, it is just like a full-time job trying to get enough protein in. And so smoothie bowls have become my BFF because I have just been like craving fresh fruit. And also, not to be TMI, but I have really found, at least in my experience, and this is not, you know, this whole podcast is just my experience. So I know it's different for everyone. It might vary pregnancy to pregnancy, but we'll talk first trimester first. But let's just say in general, I have found that my appetite has actually been less than it's ever been because of the amount of pressure on my intestines. But the first trimester, honestly, my appetite was, you know, off and on just because I was nauseous all the time. But before I get ahead of myself, I want to kind of do this methodically so I don't miss anything. We'll talk about some symptoms first, then we'll talk about some of the spiritual lessons. And then we can talk about like cravings, food, moving, and maybe some choices that I've made as far as like how I am supporting myself, you know, with healthcare practitioners throughout this pregnancy. So first of all, I think a question that I get asked a lot is, you know, how did you feel your first trimester? What were the symptoms? The first trimester, I honestly think is, and I just entered the third trimester as I'm recording this, so I don't know what the third trimester is going to be like, but I feel like the first trimester is the hardest because nobody knows what you're going through. So you're still showing up like 110% at work, for clients, for interviews, for like life is going on. You're still keeping up with social engagements. But if you have my experience, you are feeling horrible. You have no energy. You're nauseous all the time. And I think it just makes it so much harder. Like I haven't felt, I'm just going to be straight up with you. It's not like I felt like a radiant, energized goddess at all yet. But at least when people have the context of knowing that you're pregnant, there is some relief and peace in that and just being able to say like, yeah, I'm running at like a 60% battery right now. Like I am really exhausted. And some of the lessons that come with that around boundaries and prioritizing and shifting and all that we'll get into. But the symptoms, it was funny because I remember I had a call with my therapist, and my therapist was one of the first people that I told because I knew, you know, I wanted her to help me through some of my fears and things that were coming up with it. And And I knew that even if, you know, I think I told her before I told some close friends, even is because I just knew that if anything did go sideways, I would be needing to talk to her about it anyway. And it felt so good just to share it with her and have someone that could really like hold that space. What I have found is that if you have friends that have never had a baby, sometimes it's hard for them to hold that space in the first, especially in like the really early stages. And it's not true for everyone, but in general, having, you know, other than your partner, obviously, and maybe immediate family if you want to tell them, and maybe a couple close friends. But I think you just have to be really careful. You in the first trimester, I think I was way more paranoid than I would have predicted myself to be. I feel like I'm very much like go with the flow and trust and positive and all that. And while I would say like the undergoing foundation of how I felt was like, we're good, we're going. There still always is that fear. And especially me being someone that is considered advanced gestational age because I'm in my mid-30s, I originally, like you may have heard if you listened to the conception podcast, my first ultrasound was actually at 6 weeks because I had had a prior appointment already scheduled with my OB where we're going to do an ultrasound just to make sure everything was okay so that I could have a kid, and then I ended up getting pregnant. And so they were like, oh, well, we'll just see if we can do the first ultrasound, but don't be alarmed if we can't, you know, get a heartbeat and all this stuff because it's still really, really early. Most of the time when you find out you're pregnant, which is the thing that like nobody I think talks about, is you find out you're pregnant and let's say that's considered usually like week four is like when you missed your period and you've taken a pregnancy test. Most people don't want to see you for that first appointment until week 10. I just got super lucky because I already had that appointment booked. So they were like, come in, you know, we can't promise anything, but we can at least see that the gestational sac is latched or whatever it is. And so I went and we actually could hear a heartbeat at 6 weeks, which was just the most amazing thing ever. And, but in my OB's office, it was so, it was so interesting because one, nobody was like congratulating me. People didn't feel like, I was like, I don't know, it's my first kid. So I was like, oh my God, this is so exciting, right? And even my OB, who I did, you know, I did really like, was just very much like, well, we'll be cautiously optimistic. It's still really early. And you guys know me. I'm like, F that shit. Like, the vibe was just off. And so after that first appointment, everything checked out. Everything was fine. But I knew that that was not the way I wanted to go for the rest of my pregnancy. I have always wanted to have a midwife. And so I started investigating midwives and just honored that desire. And I'm so, so glad my first appointment with midwife, even though, you know, I interviewed, went through a couple different midwives before I found the one I wanted, but all of them were like, congratulations, they're so excited. None of them had that same like looming cloud of, you know, let's just hold our breath, right? And I'm not saying that that's every OB, but that was just my experience. And like I said, I really enjoyed the OB before that. But yeah, I think there's like a very real risk, obviously. And there, you know, miscarriages happen, all different kinds of things happen, especially in the first trimester. And but, you know, at the end of the day, at least my personal opinion was that no matter what? Us celebrating it right now, us like being in the excitement and the joy of it right now, is not going to harm anything. Because if something does go sideways, if something doesn't turn out, you being cautiously optimistic about it, or you having that fear or that worry, is not going to make it suck any less, or, you know, be less, you know, upsetting, right? So I very much was like, no, we get to celebrate this. And also, I am naive and aware of what the risks are and all of that. And I think that also was why I didn't tell, I mean, I didn't announce my pregnancy publicly until 6.5 months. but I didn't tell even a lot of close friends until after I got my cell-free DNA test. I was very, we kept it really close to the chest. And for me, it was just a choice of thinking, okay, well, if something comes up, whether it's a miscarriage, whether it's, you know, some sort of abnormality that's detected in one of the blood tests, whether it's whatever kind of thing that could arise, really thinking of, you know, one, how many people do I want to be accountable to sharing it with? And who do I feel like can really hold that space for me? And I think there's definitely like, I had more friends that could hold that space than I told. But, you know, me as a person, I just knew that like, if something like that did happen, I wouldn't want to feel like on top of whatever I was going through, I then had to, you know, regurgitate whatever it was to all those people. Now, I'm not saying that was right. That's just kind of how I am. I do totally understand, and I don't disagree at all with people that I know. People on Instagram right now are sharing sometimes as soon as they get a positive pregnancy test, and they're just like, well, if anything goes sideways, then you guys are going to know about it too. And I totally understand that perspective and get that from that, you know, energy of like, yeah, we're going to celebrate it. We're going to like scream it from the rooftop, because no matter what happens with this baby, like this baby deserves to be known. And honestly, before I got pregnant, I 100% always just thought I would be that person. Because I really do fundamentally agree with that. And I don't know, I just, it was just really honoring what felt right to me in that moment. And I shocked myself by how secretive I was about it. And, yeah, and just wanting to really be on that journey. And, you know, I was so nervous for a lot of the tests, and, you know, everything came back fine. But there are so many tests, blood tests that you do, and so many different things you don't even think of that they test for to make sure everything's okay. And so I really just wanted to get through all of that so that I didn't have a peanut gallery if there was something that I had to deal with. You know, me and my husband could handle it, as well as with our, you know, parents involved, and maybe, you know, both of us told like, I think one or two really close friends. And yeah, that was just my choice. As far as symptoms go, I was so cocky because the first 6 or so weeks, I was so energized creatively. I was getting so much stuff done. And then all of a sudden, I think week 7 or 8, the nausea just came crashing down, and it was all of a sudden 24/7 nauseous, exhausted, barely being able to focus, like ADHD on like steroids. getting anything done, really, really dragging, really, really feeling miserable. And with like eating or not eating, it was so frustrating because it was like I had more aversions than anything. So many things were like, I do not want to eat that. I do not want to eat that. I cannot eat that. Even at this point, I will say that there's more things I do not want to eat or that do not sound appetizing than there are that do. And so it was a hot mess and really, really, really humbling. And I think that was probably, you know, one of the other spiritual lessons. I'd say like the first spiritual lesson around like sharing the news and stuff was really just being able to honor what felt aligned in that moment and release my preconceived notions of how I thought I would be or how I thought I would feel and let however I felt in that moment feel okay and not feel pressure to do something or not do something, but just listen to what felt right. And then the next biggest spiritual lesson was really around how crummy I felt. Because one of the things that this pregnancy has really made me realize is how much I value productivity, how much that really affects my mood, how much I'm able to get done, and how much I really do struggle emotionally when I'm not able to produce at the level I like to produce, when I'm not able to check off all my to-do list boxes at the end of the day. And it's been really interesting because, you know, even just yesterday I spent, you know, the first half or two-thirds of the day really doing my taxes, getting all that stuff done, and had a bunch more on my list. And I recorded a tapping video, upload the tapping video or whatnot. So I had a decently productive day getting some stuff done. But, you know, by the time I finished at like 5 p.m. or whatever, I was beat. My to-do list still had stuff on it, and it's hard to not feel discouraged. And some days, first trimester for sure, there were days where like after like 3 p.m. I was really non-functional. It was really, really, really hard. It was hard to feel in the space creatively. I mean, the creativity was like out the door first trimester because I think the nausea was just so all-consuming that it's like if you've ever had like, if you ever just like really not feel well, you have that level of like not feeling well where you're like, okay, I feel a little off, I feel a little tired, so maybe I'm going to lay in bed all day or I'm going to wear my sweats on the couch and kind of take it easy, but you still are able to like get some stuff done on your laptop. And you're still able to like, you know, function on some level. And then you have that like when you're like really, really sick and you're like, I can barely even read a book right now. All I can do is like stare into space and take a nap. That was most of my first trimester. However, you know, I still had clients. I still had, you know, responsibilities. I still had work to do, as I think most pregnant women do. And so it was a fight every day to really rally and to be okay with doing the bare minimum, with really showing up for, okay, you know, if I had a couple of client sessions that day, then that was my priority. That was where I was giving my peak energy. And so if that meant that I wasn't going to get anything else done that day because I was going to take a nap in the middle of that, in the middle, you know, between them, or sleep in late, you know, do whatever I needed to do so I could show up at my best for what I did have going on. It was really humbling. It was really humbling. And I think one of the things I have been telling all of my girlfriends who have not had children yet and want to have children in the next few years or sometime, is that don't assume that you're going to have the 9 months of your pregnancy to get your stuff in order work-wise for the baby. I know some friends who have had so much energy and felt great and gotten a ton of work done during their pregnancy. But I will say I know more friends that have had similar experiences to me where, especially the first trimester, and for me it was even going into a bit of the start of the second trimester, even now, I will say, I just don't have the battery I did before. It's better now than it was in the first trimester, but in general, it's like if you are able to pull off, especially if you're someone like me that like to work for yourself, pull off long hours, like always going the extra mile to do another thing, lots of creative energy and stuff, it's definitely going to be like you're literally building a human. And so that's taking some of that energy. It's not going to be at the same level, most likely. And I think I definitely had the illusion that it would be like, okay, like once I find out I'm pregnant, then that gives me like a 9-month runway to really, you know, get whatever I need to get into order for maternity leave or whatnot, which is maybe a whole other podcast. If you guys are curious about hearing about that, slip into the DMs, let me know. Because maternity leave as a solo entrepreneur, as someone that owns your own business, is something that you need to figure out entirely yourself, because nobody is giving you time off and paying you for it. And you have to figure out what of your business you still want running while you're gonna be taking care of a newborn. Or in a stage of your pregnancy, like now, I'm telling friends, when you're on your conception journey, I would already start be thinking about this. Like, okay, what are the systems and the processes I need to have in place so that if I am down and out for the count for my first trimester or my third trimester or at any point during my pregnancy, right? Like sometimes ish happens and you're on bed rest, right? What can I get into place now so that I won't have to be dealing with that when I'm already, you know, physically struggling? So I think that's been the biggest thing, is really just surrendering to that, you know, being okay with things not getting done, being okay with things getting done at a slower pace, was a massive, massive recalibration. And honestly, just being more in trust than ever. Like really, 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 really trusting that this is the main event right now. Like the main event is making a baby and everything else is secondary. And this journey, this first part of the journey lasts for the 9 months or 10 months, technically it is. And then you're onto the newborn journey, which is part of it. But, you know, this journey is this time. And can we honor it? And can we do what we need to do to take care of that within the rounds of what's possible? Like, I'm a realist and Capricorn moon, Capricorn Venus about this, Capricorn 10th house. So I'm not saying, like, I would say most of us either can't or don't want to just stop working in the first trimester. But even while working, there's still ways, whether you're working 9 to 5, you're working for yourself. It does, you know, it is maybe cutting off some of the periphery, like the extra curriculum, so to speak. It is just, you know, sometimes being, instead of watching Netflix or instead of reading the book at night, just going to bed. Like a lot of times after dinner, I would just go to bed, even though for me, I really wanted to read a book, or I really wanted to, like, I don't know, listen to a podcast or whatnot. I knew that my body just needed that rest to be able to show up the next day. And so they're like little compromises. And also one of the things that was really hard for me, especially during the first trimester, is saying no to certain social obligations. Like, you know, there are times where it's like, you know, I remember, you know, going to a dinner and some people were going out dancing afterwards and I couldn't hang. I was like, you know, 9 p.m. pretty much came around and I turned into a pumpkin. I was like, I'm sorry, like, I really am really tired. I just have to go. And just a whole new lesson of really prioritizing that self-care and trusting that it'll be okay. Trusting that, you know, what's meant for you will still be there for you. And the friends and the opportunities and the work stuff that is your destiny that are really aligned with you are not going to be, you know, sabotaged by you prioritizing your rest and your well-being right now. And yeah, I feel like I say it so eloquently right now on this podcast, but I'll be really honest with you guys. It was brutal and it was emotional. And there was a lot of tears around, you know, me really feeling like I was being sabotaged energetically and having these, especially, you know, there were some moments for me in the first trimester where the creativity was flowing. And so I'd be like having these ideas and thinking of all these things I want to do and having these grand plans and then literally not having the energy to do it. And I used to tell my husband that it literally felt like I was being like offered like a free trip to, you know, some wonderful place, but I just didn't have enough gas in my car to drive there. And it felt torturous. It felt torturous for me at times as someone that is not only a dreamer or a visionary, but also deeply an executor. And to really not have the energy to always execute on the vision, really, 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 really brought me into deep surrender and deep faith and deep trust. Surrender and surrender some more. And also just allowed me to, I think, which is great preparation probably for early motherhood, is look at how I got things done differently. My energy was different. So, you know, instead of, you know, getting things done in these kind of like long blocks of time, it was really looking at what do I need to prioritize? What is the most important thing to do right now? And there were those days where, you know, like I said, whether I had clients or I had a workshop or I had an interview or I had something that I just like had to show up for. So that had to be the main event. Then there were other days where maybe I didn't have a lot of that kind of things on that are mainly just like more of my work days or my shooting days or something like that. And it was in those days that I got to learn deeper prioritization and really owning and looking at my business and my life. And shout out to my realignment course, because literally I created that course while we were trying to conceive. I'll put a link if you don't know what I'm talking about. There's a free conscious lifestyle design assessment, and then there's the actual realignment course. And it goes through all these areas of your life and it really helps you look at like what's aligned and what's like moving in the direction of where I want to move and what's not aligned. So you can really like trim the fat. And I don't think it was an accident that course came through me before we got pregnant, because that is, I did it then and then I redid it again too during my first trimester of really trimming the fat. Like anything in my business that really wasn't necessary, bye. Anything that, you know, you really just find out, one, what's necessary, what's important, but also like out of your desires, what do you desire the most? What in this season is the thing that you want to give your precious energy to create. So on those days, you know, being realistic and being like, okay, am I most high functioning from like 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.? What do I want to use that time for? What do I want to use that precious energy for? And what do I not want to waste that precious energy in? on, which I think is just a great lesson for literally anyone, pregnant or not pregnant, which is why I created that course and that. I'll put links below in case you're like not pregnant, but thinking of getting pregnant and definitely should do that before you're pregnant. Definitely a good thing to do before you're pregnant, if not while you're pregnant, because you will surely need it for the newborn stage, but I've really needed it during pregnancy as well. So some other first trimester stuff is that most people didn't know I was pregnant. One, and it was funny, some of my girlfriends, once I told them, were like, oh, I didn't even think, like, I had a feeling that maybe you might be pregnant, but you didn't look pregnant at all. And you were traveling so much and you were working out so much. So I was just like, maybe I'm wrong. And I have traveled a good amount throughout my pregnancy, which one of the things they tell you when you're pregnant, especially when it comes to exercise, but when it comes to a lot of things, honestly, it's kind of like, what have you already been doing? So if you've already been doing, like before I got pregnant, I was already doing Pilates almost every day and doing my Peloton and all that stuff. And so my body was used to that. So it wasn't detrimental or a shocker to continue doing that while I was pregnant. Similarly, I also believe that when it comes to traveling, I didn't have any problems physically or otherwise traveling while pregnant. And I think a lot of that is also because my body was already really used to traveling very frequently. I don't know if I mean, I'm not a doctor, but in general, I think, you know, the rule when it comes to pregnancy is that don't try something like drastically different, which if you think about it, makes total sense because your body's going through so many changes. And so whatever stuff that you had going on, if you're already going to dance class, you're already going to spin class or whatever it is before, right, you're pregnant, you can keep that up because that's just normal to your body. That's not like a shock on the system. But maybe, like, for instance, if I had just been doing my Pilates and my Peloton and all of a sudden I'm pregnant and I want to start doing CrossFit, like, I probably don't think that's recommended, right? Because your body's just going through enough change. So similarly, I don't know if everyone would feel great doing as much travel as I did. However, my body is super used to travel. I've been traveling this much since I was 25. So it is just, it can handle that. And I didn't have any issues with it. But definitely, you know, that was my first experience also of like a little pregnancy judgment. And not from my friends, but from some family members or different people that didn't know me that well, that were just like, oh, like, really? You think that's okay to travel that much? And another great spiritual lesson, which I was also really used to before pregnancy, which is why it really wasn't a big deal for me, because I have been used to doing things that not everyone thinks is conventional or agrees with or whatnot. So it was really easy for me to be like, my body, my choice. And my practitioners, then everybody that my midwife and everyone I was seeing also knew and was okay and prepped me with different things to make sure my traveling was, you know, healthy and had all my routines and all different things I did, you know, to stay hydrated and keep my immune system up and wear my compression socks and get up and walk and all that jazz. So, but also the thing that was super trippy was, like, the other thing I mentioned was that my entire first trimester, you really couldn't tell that I was pregnant at all, even though I was feeling awful. So maybe that would have been a hint. But I didn't have any bump. I mean, maybe if you saw me in my underwear, you would thought I had just eaten a burrito at some point. I mainly felt really bloated. I felt I think uncomfortable sometimes in my body. And it was just little things, but I think as women, we're so used to at least once a month feeling like all of our pants are tight or just feeling a little uncomfortable. So that's pretty much what it was like physically in the first trimester, which is interesting and like a little bit of like a mind F, because you're like, okay, I'm pregnant, but I don't look pregnant. But I don't really feel pregnant unless you consider feeling pregnant feeling sick. So it's a bit of a surreal experience because you're like, okay, I literally peed on a stick and now just acting as if I'm pregnant, right? If you think about that from a manifestation point of view, right? It's like, it's kind of crazy, right? We talk about manifestation, right? About how we trust, right? Maybe we get a sign, which is the pee on the stick or whatnot. And I know it's like a biological test, but I'm just saying metaphorically. We get a sign that this is the thing that we want, this is a desire, and it's on its way. And then we act as if. And it doesn't really, until for me, I didn't honestly really pop until the end of the second trimester. So there was a long time where I was, you know, in the energy of being pregnant and all of that, but wasn't seeing a huge physical manifestation of the pregnancy. It's funny. I think second trimester, if we do a second trimester podcast, we'll talk a little bit more about the body stuff that comes up during pregnancy, because I definitely had a lot of that, but most of it didn't start until the second trimester. So I think that's it. I'm trying to think if I missed anything in the first trimester. I mean, we covered tests, we covered symptoms, we covered spiritual lessons. I hope that this has been interesting for you. Like I mentioned before, one of the things that was the most helpful for me and continues to be the most helpful for thing on this journey is listening to other people's stories and the variety in people's stories. And one of the things that I felt so much, especially in the first trimester, was that I didn't feel like I heard a lot of stories I could relate to out there, let's say. I feel like there's lots of beautiful images of women looking like goddesses on their maternity photo shoots, or, you know, a lot of, you know, these very like positive goddess women, pregnancy, whatever out there, which I'm not saying that that's, that there's anything wrong with that, but I definitely, did not feel like a goddess my first trimester, and did not feel like I was glowing my first trimester. And I didn't hear, I'm really grateful that I heard a lot of stories from like personal friends about how hard their first trimester was and how icky they felt and how gross they felt and their emotional struggles and everything that came on. I'm so glad that I had friends I was close enough with to know that nitty gritty of their pregnancy journey, because in the moments where it was like really hard for me, I really leaned on that to be like, this is part of the path, right? And I think if I had only had these, you know, media-driven storylines of glowing and endless excitement and you are, you know, just this fertility goddess, it would have only made me feel really crappy about myself and really shameful that I was feeling, you know, not great. So that's why I hope to share the good, the bad, the ugly, the spiritual lessons, the whole journey, at least my journey with you guys, which I feel like is a nice sputtering of all of it. So that hopefully, whether it's today or it's in the future and you're going through your journey and there are times where you don't feel like a radiant, glowing goddess all the time, you don't feel alone and you don't think there's anything wrong with you and there's nothing wrong with your pregnancy journey. And I think it is more common than we're made to see. But thanks for listening. And if you have any questions or other things you want to talk to me about as far as it relates to the pregnancy, feel free to leave questions on the bottom of my YouTube channel. Feel free to shoot me DMs or shoot me an email at assistant@cassandrabodzak.com. We'll address them in a future solo cast. And if you're curious, and I talked a little bit about the realignment and the conscious lifestyle design assessment, which I honestly think is just so beneficial for anyone, but 100% if you are trying to conceive or pregnant, because definitely a turning point in a woman's life where you really do need to trim the fat and clear out things that are no longer in alignment and get that clarity and that prioritization. And that course is just, it's just perfect for it. It can make it fun for you. So I'll put that link below. And thanks for listening. As always, I'll see you next week.